XP for bringing you a spear? You certainly can, and thank you for being direct.
No doubt. That's good. Yeah.
That's the mark. Yeah, that is literally. I try to do something nice for people who do stuff nice for me in game. It doesn't always have to be XP or items. It can be little storyline based on their intro, things like that.
Yes, which is awesome.
Oh. Coming back, what to do?
Yeah, he went to get a program book to find out who the moderator is.
So, or do we even have a moderator? We're all LARPers. Why do we need a moderator?
I'll be moderator.
Whoever's holding the axe gets to moderate.
Yes.
Hey!
I saved your chair over here off to the side.
I like that. That is awesome.
And it's not done in Sharpie this year.
If I'd actually known I was doing a panel, I'd have done makeup earlier, but I didn't know I was doing
a
panel.
I'd like to thank you for freaking out my ex-wife. That was awesome. Thanks.
How did I do that?
My daughter came over with one of her friends to hang out for the day, and she brought her over and she said, there's some guy walking around the lobby with a bathrobe on, for sure. And I was just like, oh yeah, it's Justin, he's cool. He's good. She looked at me like,
he's nothing to worry about. He's harmless.
It was fine. Yeah. And with every holiday.
He is minion one.
Come on in.
He is minion number one.
Enter. I got lost and scared, and the Girl Scouts menu by cookie.
Come on, it's a panel. You can ask us questions. We're all at a table, and we can ask the questions.
Apparently, we have no moderator.
I'll moderate.
Okay,
and you might get an answer.
You're elected. As the person least qualified to be here, I'll be the moderator.
Excellent.
That way, I don't have to actually do anything.
Just remember, we're recording this.
Hey. It's being recorded. Hold on.
Isn't Joss Whedon
going
to be here?
Call the rest of the alert, man.
Okay. Yeah. I was told Joss Whedon
would be here. All performers are at least 18 years old or older.
If you object to having your stupid questions recorded, there's no
one. I'd like to see where LARP in here. That'd be nice.
Okay. Guys, you should probably hear that last statement just to...
If you object to having your stupid questions recorded, there's the door. Feel free.
What about answers?
Speak into the cookies.
Hello.
Hello.
That would be something Calvin would say.
This is a panel on running a LARP. LARP, live-action role-playing, which means you're alive when you do it, and you're role-playing. And
discuss.
Starting from the... We'll end with you. starting with you. Who are you? Why are you here?
Bob Flack. I'm running the superhero LARP this year, or as we like to call it, the Schlarp.
You're alive.
I wanted to play that. I've not been able to find you guys. I wrote on your little thing. Where are you? Here's my...
Well, we've been everywhere.
We'll get you hooked up if you're interested.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And your name again was?
Bob Flack.
Hey, Bob Flack. Glad to meet you, Bob. You are.
I'm Rod Belcher.
Down here on the first floor.
I'm with Bob.
You find it.
Robin Bob. Also with the superhero thing.
I am indeed. Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
David Lisland. I'm also one of the Schlartmeisters.
Oh,
really,
so they're like a set.
Yes. The three Schlartmeisters of the apocalypse.
Rob, Bob, and Dave.
Yes.
Rod, Bob, Dave.
Okay. I'm your moderator du jour. Brandon Blackmore. I've run two LARPs, the same one both times. The first one, hugely successful. Everybody loved it. Got applause at the end. Second time, nobody signed up. Which is mainly why I'm here. I want to find out from these guys, how could I get the first thing to happen the second time?
Because
I don't know. I did exactly the same thing. If anything, I put more effort into it the second time.
Well, that was your mistake right there.
Uh-huh. You know what? It was me and my little co-GMs, and we're like waiting and...
If you're not writing a story at the last second, packing something in the car like 5 minutes before you leave.
Anyway, that was
you're doing something wrong.
That was ShivaCon 2004, let's say, Hotel on Haunted Hill. It was awesome the first time. And you are?
I am Owen Anderson. I'm an alcoholic.
Big fan.
Hi, Owen!
Hey,
I've been coming to these 12-step programs for where am I? I just woke up.
I come for the donuts and the punch.
I have been running LARPs on and off probably for the last 15 years.
Wow.
I ran one of the first blood hunts ever done. That was in Stanton for World of Darkness. And World of Darkness is based on one of our systems, but we also throw in elements of Cthulhu and a lot of different other games. We kind of mix things up a little bit as to not let people get bored.
And name again was?
Owen Anderson.
Owen Anderson. Letter.
Yeah, I'm Justin Jeffries, and I'm a gamer.
Woo!
Freebird! I've been gaming for the last 17 years. Been running LARP for about 14 or so. 10 to 14 years. I can't remember how long.
It's been a while.
It runs together after a while.
Yeah.
I'm with Strange Eons. We run a regular LARP in Stanton. And we've done numerous cons. This is our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th con.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so.
Six. Okay. Do day cons count?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's.
Yeah, day con, Fred, day con. Usually don't count those. I've been playing the White Wolf system since it was a box set. Designed around eight people as an after dinner party. Awesome. Then they're like, oh shit, we've got 300 people playing in a LARP. We need to rewrite the rules. I've been with Owen for now for about 10 years. Been gaming with Owen for 10 years.
We've been very happy together.
We look forward to another 10 years.
It's good to see a couple working out.
Yeah. And you make quite the looks coming
to you. We do. I just can't stand him in the morning without his makeup.
For people listening, what's your name again?
Justin Jeffries.
Justin Jeffries. Mr. Jeffries.
J-E-S-T-I-N.
Justin?
Justin.
Justin.
Yes.
I'll get it wrong. Mr. Jeffries has white face paint with occult symbols and tiny, probably not Sharpie, all over his face. He's a very frightening character.
He looks like the Riddler.
Well, I'm the first priest of Hastur.
There you go. All right. Just so that we have a feel for what you're expecting, are you guys experienced LARPers who want to like try it yourselves, but you have like specific questions? How do you handle this? Or are you people who don't know anything about LARPing and you're like, what is this LARP you speak of? Or what kind of level are you at? Let's start with you. Where are you at? What do you want?
This is actually my first time participating in any LARP. And so far, from what I've experienced, it's been a lot of fun. So,
general kind of questions. How about you?
I have general questions.
General questions. How about
this
you?
My second one.
General questions. All right.
You have a general question about the damn game, don't you? No, I'm going to phrase it so it's not about the damn game.
Okay. All right. Guy with the axe. I'll start with the guy with the axe. Well, do you have a question?
Always start with
the
guy with
the axe. I
actually
have a question.
Do you want a cookie?
No, I'm good. Thank you, though. Dwarves don't eat cookies.
If your question is good, you get a cookie.
What's your question?
Oh. What's my interest?
What's the easiest way, besides reading all the books, to understand the LARP better?
Okay, if you want to cheat, how do you start a LARP? Great.
Yeah.
Let's start with you guys, because you based yours on a book, right?
No, we loosely...
Or did at one point?
We loosely based it off the White Wolf system, Laws of the Night. We don't play with the Abomination of a Requiem.
Is that the whole title, or are you throwing in an editorial comment?
Editorial comment.
Okay, just because I don't know, gotta ask.
We style ourselves as Strange Eons. We combine... I've lost track of how many different systems we can actually run.
I was the one who got lucky enough to have been gaming for the last 30 years, so I've read and I run a lot of different systems, and I just transferred most of it over to the LARP with me. And I looked at a book like that, and it is very complicated and can take forever if you're running with
two
people.
Is that Laws of the Night?
Yes.
Yeah.
It can take forever in a month of Sundays. Therefore, with our system, we kind of streamlined it and made it a little quicker. And we tend to get good feedback on that because we get a lot more story out instead of having to go constantly with retest and retest and more retest.
Well, I got a question for you, but first I want to see what these guys do. Is yours based on a game system?
Ours,
or you
ours
make it
is
up
or? Ours. Our book's based loosely on a play by Neil Simon
and mescaline. Lots of mescaline.
gotta have the mescaline.
A couple back many years ago, there was supposed to be a Star Wars LARP at ShibaCon. And the guy was doing it, had something happen, and it fell through. And the young lady who I was dating at the time was extremely enamored of LARPing, and she was very sad because there wasn't going to be a LARP that year. So I'm driving along, and I go, how hard can it be? Really? How tough can it be?
One of my favorite phrases.
Yeah, you know. And I ran to Bob here, and I said, Bob, let's do a LARP, man. We can do a LARP for the convention. We got 3 or 4 weeks before the con. We can do it.
There's plenty of time.
Yeah.
Well, what was my answer?
And you said, do you want me to talk you out of this? And you said, no. You said no a lot. You said, no, no, no. And I was like, and I at one point I said, well, it doesn't have to be like a supernatural LARP. We could do something else. He's like, no, really?
Really?
Well, okay.
Wait. Is that allowed? There has to be vampires. Otherwise, it's not officially
you know
LARP.
You know, most people like think of role-playing. They say, like D&D. Most people say LARPing, and they say, like, masquerade, like vampire. That's kind of the gold standard for LARPing.
Yeah.
And we decided we'd do superhero stuff because that would be fun. And, you know, how hard can it be to come up with a system with 80 bazillion different powers?
So what do you use?
We
homebrew.
Bob, the way we work is, Bob is a system guy. He crunches the numbers and he works out how to build the system. And
the mechanics.
And he came up with some really very, very elegant, simple mechanics. Because we were thinking, like I'm sure you guys do the same thing. You don't want people coming back to you any more than they got to. Yeah, you want them going off and playing and having a good time.
Playing. The more time they're playing and not dealing with us, the better.
Okay. So the system is supposed to be pretty easy. Dave came up with the props. Dave designs all the cool little props and stuff like that. He does all
the
of
cookies are amazing.
Yeah, they almost smell like real cookies.
they even smell like cookies.
They're made with real Girl Scouts.
And he's good.
And then I scribble stuff down on Post-it notes and they make it into a game.
Now here's a question for you guys and for you guys. The people who come into play, I mean, clearly the whole Laws of the Night vampire, all that whole LARPy vampire-y, I've got a top hat thing going on.
I've got a top hat.
There's a subculture of people who do this habitually all the time. And,
oh, yes.
But the people who come to conventions, are they that kind of people, or are they more like, hey, I've never been to a con before, or hey, I've never LARPed before?
We do get a random spattering of people who've never played before.
So your mechanically, your task resolution and your conflict resolution has to be catered toward people who have not spent the last 8 years reading the rule book.
We make it story based. We don't rule base it at all. We story base it. If we try to bare bones when you're building, especially for like you mentioned, you have to bare bones a story and be prepared for whatever the players are going to do.
How about you guys?
400 community.
Rob dictates a story and we follow it methodically.
I like the Mussolini of
he lost by fear.
We come up with a plot. The plot is we actually have maintained the same. It's a continuing story. It's been going. This is the fourth year, so the story kind of grows out of each year. And that's my daughter.
I can continue your thought.
Yeah, please go.
I put my mom on vibrate. That's a phrase you don't often hear.
I suddenly feel uncomfortable.
As long as you don't see her outside.
Rod comes up with the basic story idea, and Bob and I work with him to kind of work out a few of the details as it sort of filters down.
We all hash out the plot together.
And one of the things that we've discovered, though, and I imagine y'all probably run into it too with some repeating customers playing your game who we've already talked to, is so we have with your earlier question, we have some people who have done RPGs for years. We have some people who have done a lot of LARPing. We have some people who this is their first time because some of their buddies came and it seemed like, hey, they're having fun. Let's try it.
Peer pressure, awesome.
And part of what we learned is that our players are self-basting. We started the first year and did all kinds of intricate plots, and then they proceeded to give us, as they worked their way through it, so many really good plot threads that fed into what we did the second year.
It makes its own gravy.
And the third year, and this year. So we've had people who keep playing the same characters over and over again. Some people switch. And folks seem to dig on it.
Now, I'll describe my very, very limited experience, which worked. I cannot stress how well it worked the first time. I was flabbergasted. Never having actually run a LARP before, what I did is I came up, and I didn't know how many people there were going to be, so I figured not more than 30, right? And it actually wasn't a bad guess, because we got like 20. I don't know, maybe the band canceled that night or something? I don't know. But, you know, and then Kaya Derone came the next year, and nobody wanted to play. But, so I had, like, on a 3x5 card, basically a character and, like, a synopsis of, like, one line, you know, you're a corrupt politician, and you got a secret, here's your secret. You killed a hooker in Las Vegas in 1998, you know. And,
how'd you know?
And then something that you want to know is, like, someone's blackmailing you, want to know who. So essentially, I just did that for, like, 30 different people, the characters, and I had in mind who connected with who.
Right.
So when people showed up and I had 20 people, I was like, you know, if there's something here that you find interesting, you know, that appeals to you. I didn't tell them the secrets and everything, but I said, Senator Packwood, he's a politician. Morgan Blaylock, he's a psychic. You know, like that kind of deal. Who do you want to play? And then after, like, the first half of those people picked people, I was like, okay, well, these people all have, like, really strong connections with these, so I, like, started filtering out the remaining ones based on what had already been picked. And then, you know, did not have connections. And then basically just let people just do whatever the hell they wanted, and then once an hour while it was running, because it was only a one-night thing, once an hour while I was running, I said, okay, everybody come back here, and then we'll do a thing, you know, have a seance or something like that. Oh, and then also everybody got, like, an action card that were things like a gunshot, you know. And when you use this, the person you're using it against, you do rock, paper, scissors, and either you hit them and they die or they don't, and everyone in the game can hear that this happened. And then there was a knife in the dark. It's like, do rock, paper, scissors, and if you win, then you stab them, that kind of thing. And people got stabbed, turned into ghosts. I'm really blathering on over a long time.
No.
So essentially, it wasn't as maybe as free-form and customized as you guys are describing.
It's so, you know, that's the cool thing about it, too, is everybody does it a different way.
Completely.
And sometimes you do it a different way from one year to the next.
Mm. We've done that.
You throw in new mechanics. You go, we're going to try to do this year. And you try.
And the mechanics, you're never done fiddling with your game mechanics ever. Mm-hmm.
We've run one year, and it's like, okay, we learned from how the gamers took apart a storyline, you know, because as much time as we, you know, as most storytellers will say, often say, you know, the storyline would be great if it wasn't for all you gamers. They will, you know, if you run this too strict, we found in our experiences, you run a very rigid, strict storyline. Things have to happen within the timetable.
Yeah.
Gamers will inevitably speed that up or slow it down. Mm-hmm. They will kill a character that's not supposed to be killed till Saturday at midnight, on Friday at 2 o'clock.
No plan meets, no plan survives contact with the enemy.
So it's, for us, running a very bare bones, free form LARP with no set.
Oh, there's set.
Well, there's set scheduled storylines, but since we're not rigid, we're able to
kind of bend,
adapt, bend, and adjust around the game.
Do you guys? I have a question because this is what we were talking about too, and actually I had a couple of players ask us it. Do you guys, if you have a fairly epic
only after I'm
conclusion, you know, to your thing like that, the world's going to end, or some great cosmic evil is going to pour into the world, or something like that.
Again,
this year. do you guys plan contingencies? Are you guys cool with? Well, you all die and the world ends. The end.
I try to come up for more of a happier outcome, but I have blown everything up before. I really have.
It's always fun to blow something up every once in a while. I mean. It's nice to give the gamers a glimmer of hope.
The year
they snatch it away from them?
Exactly.
One year they thought they were going to save the world, and they ended up freeing Loki from his prison. He'd been screwing with everybody the entire game, and they finally let him go. And that was the end of the game.
Wow. Roll credits.
One year, my main character, Vladimir, decided he was going to trade his soul for another's, take another's place in hell. And he decided, okay, well, if I got to stay in hell, I'm going to get a cushy job. So he made a deal with the devil. I'm going to be a tour guide. I want a house, I want this, I want that.
And then when they came to
and
take
then when
you,
it came time for me to return to hell, the gamers decided no.
The gamers were going to fight the one who was going to take him back, which was a lot of fun.
Which was my plan to be able to retire the character. Wow. But the gamers, again, decided no.
Stupid gamers got in the way.
It's actually one of the things, even with like tabletop role playing games, one of the things I think is the most satisfying thing is when your players do something that you had no freaking clue
exactly
they were going to do. Because it's like, it's beautiful. Because it's like, wow, I never thought of that in a million years. And you just completely went around this thing that we built here and said, oh, I'm going to go this way. And that's cool. It may drive us crazy too. You'll be like, excuse me, I really appreciate that. I'm going to go scream in this corner. Give me five minutes.
Well, and you've got a couple of choices at that point. You can try to fight back the tide, which isn't going to do anybody any good. Or you can roll with it as smoothly as possible. Or you can roll with it and, you know, good job, guys! And claim credit for it and move on.
I knew you were going to do
that. Just like we planned you were going to do.
Yeah.
And there is a certain level of mystery of the game, which we're a little bit giving up for some of the players who are here, in that, you know, a lot of what seems like the power residing in the game masters really isn't.
We just get to hear the whole story.
We're mechanics for the machine. You guys are deciding where it's going to drive to, and what it's going to do.
We're the turning drivers. The meat grinder.
So, yeah. So in a way, LARPing is like BDSM. The bottom is really the
yes, 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 yes.
It looks like the person holding the whip is in charge, but really? Anyway.
That's a
you kids don't know what I'm talking about, of course. So.
If you don't that understand works. That statement, it's not part of this panel to explain.
If you don't understand that statement, there's a panel later on this evening. There's another panel that you can
go to. So, as far as your question about getting it going without having to read an 800-page book first.
That's pretty much self-explanatory.
You got a clue? Right. All right. Yeah. Next question.
Yeah, I mean, we don't... I mean...
You could grab a bunch of different cards.
We've read this a couple times. Mm-hmm. We know it.
And if you want to learn more and know about it, feel free to read it. But if you know...
It's something to start
other
with.
Other books. Yes. Mm. You know,
and everyone would bring it back to me.
We've read any great sci-fi book we've ever read.
And anything with rules in it, the first thing it says in it is you can change the rules. Therefore, yep. People who argue with you for 45 minutes over a four-sentence paragraph to tell you that they can do this, being GMs, you can't say, no, you can't. Yeah.
That's what you guys pay me for, is to say, no, you can't.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's not just reading a bunch of different systems.
I didn't mean you guys.
And working and creating something around...
It's media.
Taking a bunch of different systems is okay. You've got a bare bones system. Now creating storylines and stuff like that, ideas, is your entire breadth of reading material.
Yep, you've got movies, music, television. There's so much that can add rich things to your game.
Historical,
if you modify them slightly and take the TM off the end of it.
You know, historical historical events.
Yes.
Events that are happening in the news right now. You know, we. Take a lot of stuff like that and mesh it into one.
Anybody else have a question?
I actually think I have another one from what they were talking about.
You only get one.
Lies.
All right, fine. No one else is raising their hands, so go ahead.
The man with the axe, you can ask another question.
What's your other question?
All right. I know kind of how you guys deal with high-level characters and really powerful characters. You'll either retire that character or turn it into an NPC or somehow kill it off, or it'll just kind of take a vacation for forever.
Or we have other NPCs who could take it out.
Yes,
the way it sounded like with you guys is you basically, it's a very item-based kind of thing. So
we've actually been wrestling with this very year, because the first couple of years we slapped characters together and we basically said, oh, well, this guy is supposed to be like Thor. So he has this and this and this and this. And, oh, this character is supposed to be like Thanos. So he has this and this and this and this. Oh, and this character is supposed to be like Bucky. So he has this and this and this and this. And there and you know, surprisingly...
You had a character like Bucky? I'm so sorry.
No, the worst one I think was we actually... I think at one point we had written up Aquaman's sidekick.
Swallow?
Like
Guppy. Guppy. That's Seaman. That's Seaman. I'm sorry.
I was going to say Carlos or something. Aquaman and Carlos.
And as we've gone along, it's been very evident that some people have, you know, tougher characters, stronger characters than others. What's been really nice, though, is there's been more story and more role-playing. It does come up when, you know, it's like, I want this thing, and I'm really big and strong, and I'm probably going to get it. Bob came up with a pretty elegant, if I can patch it, mechanic where you can have two or three weaker characters gang up and take down a stronger character. One of the things we've been doing this last couple years is starting to codify a little bit more and say, okay, this gives us a magic number for about how many points this character ought to be worth, and we can compare them. We still have, when you're dealing with a comic book world, you have Sorcerer Supremes and insane demigods and guys in bat costumes with utility belts all running around, and they have to interact. So there's going to be some characters that are stronger in some ways than others.
If I can jump in for a second, part of how we've bound, because it was a conscious kind of struggle. Sort of like, okay, we've got this great cosmic storyline, and what are the street level folks going to do?
Yeah.
And okay, and we've got some really great stuff going on in the street. What's the Sorcerer Supreme doing right about now?
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes we've tried. Sometimes we've tried to do programming for kind of both streams, if we can say that way. Sometimes we've put items or events in that sort of direct, you know, have an effect from one into the other. And sometimes we have equalizers. So, you know, maybe there's a device that
wow, you know, Mr. Godling, you sure are impressive. Poop, let me push this button.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then there's, you know, Rorschach, you know, breaking his pinky.
Oh, this, okay, this happened the first year. This was one of those, you know, one of those cool little war story great moments, is at the very end, you know, Earth is being invaded, alien ships flying all over the place. There's one guy who's playing Thanos. And he is, you know,
the bad guy?
Yeah, he's like the big rock-faced alien warlord. Worships death. He's,
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. And Thanos is going up against this guy who's playing basically Lex Luthor. And Thanos is, and Lex Luthor was really smart. He had gadgets and stuff, but he was a normal guy. And he kind of gestures over to me and to judge the thing, and he's like, I've got this, can I use this? And we'd given him a rifle that was a one-shot rifle that was basically like a, it was supposed to have a shell in it that was his archenemy, his Superman, who's an alien. It was like an anti-alien gun. If you fired it, it basically knocked out the powers of an alien character for like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, through the encounter, through the scene.
Was an alien. You know, the big rock guy was an alien. So he's like, can I use this on the other? Yeah, sure. He shot the guy with it, and all his powers went away, and he beat the crap out of him. And it was just awesome. He was like a normal guy, just beat the crap out of him. It was really cool. So, I mean...
And you didn't expect that to happen?
No, no. We gave him the gun because, silly us, or silly me, I thought, well, Lex Luthor's going to spend all this weekend tangling with Superman. That's something else that happens a lot. Is we'll build a street-level storyline, and we'll build a cosmic storyline, and we'll figure the cosmic guys will all hang in the cosmic storyline, and the street-level guys, no. We had a mob war for like 3 years. No one gave a damn. No care. They were too busy running around trying to save the universe, or destroy the universe, or whatever. And we had, you know, Spider-Man, and Rorschach, and you know, a bunch of street-level dudes, Kingpin, and stuff like that, running around doing cosmic stuff. They didn't give a crap who ran the city. They didn't care. So,
a lot of it...
Not that after we save the universe, you know?
I mean, what we do a lot of times is there's layers to the game. You have the high-level, very powerful, very sophisticated types, and they have a thread of a story going on that's important to them. And you have a middle level where you have a thread of a story that's important to them, which is different. And then you have a low-level thread that's important to those people. But a lot of times those threads cross over because somebody has something or someone has information that they need. And you'll cross over into threads. Much like in real life, if we're all sitting around and talking about stuff and we have our own problems and we're trying to work them out, there's also the senator that has his problems is trying to work through other stuff. And he's trying to accomplish his goals. And sometimes... we need the senator's help to get something done we need, and vice versa. Sometimes the senator needs all of us to back him up to get something done.
As far as like the surprise where you gave the guy plot device X and you wound up using it against somebody you didn't anticipate him using it against, mm-hmm. over on the Cthulhu meets vampire Strange Eons side of things, what's like the most memorable or a really memorable occasion where something like that happened with you guys? Like, X fought Y, and you never expected that to happen, and it actually worked out and surprised you in some interesting way.
Well, at one of the Shivas we did, game was moving a little slow on Friday night. We had about 30, 40 people. Nobody seemed to really want to game that much. It was really strange. So finally, to get things going, I went and separated him from himself, had the wall eat him. He's half vampire, half werewolf. The wall ate half of him, then he had to fight himself. And I got to play the other half of him, and then he actually killed part of himself for the time being.
Which was funny. Yeah,
yeah, that was, everybody's like,
I hate myself when I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually got people really interested to go, and what's going on here now?
And I was being, you know, my character, the other half, the vampire side, was being blamed for the hotel the werewolf side was doing. Because, obviously, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Nobody else here can do that, so it's obviously your fault. You did it. Yeah.
I always get blamed for the things I do. It's awful.
You know, we had a sacrifice go wrong once. That was fairly memorable.
Oh, how'd that go wrong?
We had players. Basically, they needed someone very pure and someone very unpure to sacrifice to open up a portal and get the monster that was coming through. The bad guys were going to do this very well. I think I had 45 seated in these two rooms, actually.
Good Lord.
In the middle of this. I've got the two people up there in the thing, and at that moment, I lose my voice.
Oh, crap.
And I have been literally talking for almost 3 days straight, and this is Saturday night at, what, 3 o'clock in the morning?
3 o'clock in the morning.
And that is why you need
wonderful staff. That is one thing. If you guys are going to run a LARP, you really need to think about the staff you put with you.
How many people help you guys out?
On staff, randomly, we have 12 to 15, if you include spouses and stuff, who help.
How about you guys?
This is it.
are you dealing with crowds of thousands like these guys?
A lot of players are very cool. If we need help, we have players who will jump right in and help us. And when we're getting ready for this thing, so many people, one of the ladies who's played in this since the very beginning, helped us for 2 or 3 days beforehand with stuff and stayed up all night working on getting stuff printed out and everything else. So, I mean, we don't have a... We've actually talked about getting more, like, referees in the field. We've even talked about, like, sort of a cross between a player and a referee, sort of, where...
Like an arbitrator.
You know the rules, and you're playing a character who's not got a really, like, vested interest in... in a plot thing, so they can kind of cruise around and have a good time, but they're not going to like screw up the plot by pointing people in the wrong direction or misinterpreting the rules.
That's one of the hardest things to do is trying to get new GMs in. Because you've got people that have
people you can trust.
Yeah, you got to have people that don't have motivations for either being power hungry, the fact that they can control the room, run a room fairly well, and the fact that they're just not going to do it to get their character better.
And you have to be able to screw over people. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be able to speak loudly. You have to be able to control a room.
Yep.
So you have to, be an ass if you have to. You have to be the, no, you can't do that.
You got to have that DI.
You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be trying to be everybody's friend.
Sit down and be quiet right now.
Shut the hell up, do what I say, or go to hell home. Sometimes you have to do that. But to find people that are on the same page as you are is the hard part. Because there's been times I've run games in the past where I thought me and the other storyteller were on the same page. Yeah. Couldn't find out we're both reading entirely two different books.
Here's a question for you. I'm on this side. I'll start with you guys. As far as conflict resolution, and I'll go back to my own little tiny little amount of experience. I had me, my wife, our good friend Lloyd, and we were running the year it worked, and that was it. And the rules for task resolution, they had like a card that if they could do anything special, it would be on the card. Otherwise, you punch somebody, whatever, you can do what you want. So it's kind of open-ended. But anytime anybody played a card or did anything kind of conflict-related, if it didn't happen in the presence of me, Susan, or Lloyd, it didn't happen. And that was one of the ground rules I said, role-play whatever you want, we don't need to be there, but anything that resolves conflict, if one of us isn't there, it didn't happen.
Exactly.
So how do you guys handle that?
We do the same thing. If you go out and role-play amongst yourselves, but if you're doing a fighting, if you're fighting, you're trying to kill something, make sure there's a storyteller or arbitrator there or it does not count. We will, you may one, destroy the big bad thing that you thought you were going to destroy, but we weren't there.
Had more than one person come back to me and say, I did this, where was your GM? Well, there wasn't a GM. I'm so very sorry, that couldn't have happened since I wasn't there.
I've had that people say,
blow up buildings in my game. Said, I just blew up your Elysium. Well, how did that happen? I used C4. Where did you get the C4? From those guys over there, I speak to them. Did you give her C4? No, we took her money and gave her a bag of bricks. Did you check to see if it was C4? No. There, you have a bag of bricks. You blowed up nothing. Be quiet. Thank you.
How about you guys? How does conflict resolution work? Do you trust your players to work it out and come to you and tell you what happened? Or do you say, either we're there or it doesn't happen or something else?
You know how in role-playing games, well, pretty much in any game, you have different kinds of personality types.
Cool.
You have the munchkin. You got the actor. You've got the rules lawyer. It's the same basic thing. The way Bob built the system, which is awesome, is KISS, to keep it simple.
Let's do it.
We wanted people to not have to spend any more time with us than they had to, so we're trusting them. And just like any other game, some people, like in golf, I hit the ball over just a little bit, and go do that over again. The wind was in, sun was in the eyes. Some folks like to play hard and fast with the rules, and unlike a tabletop game, the referee's not there to go, whoa, wait. So you have to, what we've been encouraging our players to do is say, here are the rules, we're giving you the rules, read them, know your rights, all three of them, and if you don't think this is kosher, go get one of us. And you're going to get some players who like to push that envelope. And that's it's pretty much you're going to find in any kind of game, any kind of competition. One of the things we've been trying to stress this year is no one wins in a LARP. No one really wins. You have goals to meet, and those are fun, and we're rewarding you when you meet your goals. So there is a reward there. But at the end of it, it's just I had a really good time, and I had some cool stories to tell. I had fun. I like playing. I got to meet somebody else for a couple of days, and it was cool.
There is no win or lose in our system. If you survive the night,
win.
You win.
Any night you can walk away.
If you survive the weekend.
Cthulhu end of it.
Right. If you survive the weekend, you won.
If you're not in the yard eating sand by Monday, you won.
Exactly. Well, there's no particular set.
Well,
I won all these prizes.
I like people to come out. We have a regular game too in Stanton that goes on every other weekend. But at cons, it's literally like a one shot moment, and I want people to have the memories of meeting some cool new people, meeting some old friends, sitting around and really enjoying a character, either something they've never played before or something they haven't played. Something they've played for years and years. Which we have a lot of people who've been playing the same character for years and years.
But
and
a new experiences with that old character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things I was going to mention, just as you mentioned, you lived! Yay! congratulations. One of the things that we've run into, and I'm looking at one of the players who was involved in it, there have been a couple of occasions where the quotey finger happy ending for the character was a noble and a noble death achieving some great goal, and
yes.
so superhero dead, but he was able to.
It's a great story.
He was able to make a great story for his character, and that was that's part of what we want to bring to the players. It's not just, oh, I've got a bigger gun than last year, or oh, I'm stronger, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that, but like the Strange Young guys were saying, that they're having a good time, they're advancing the story, they're enjoying it, they're seeing their friends.
One of the things
advancing
I think
their characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've created new goals for their characters. Like,
yeah.
I've reached the goals I set for myself.
It's
now I have to create new ones.
It's the cool thing about LARPing, the thing that I think attracts a lot of people is it is theater. It really is. It's improv theater. It's like, okay, here's your prompts. Yellow card. Here's your motivations. This is what you're playing. Go. And then, and some people will just, and as we well know, some people will just run with it, man. They'll do like Shakespearean things,
They'll get it started.
It's awesome. Some people really have a flair for the dramatic, and they get a couple of days to just go nuts. It's like it's an open-ended play with a few rules. And a couple of stage managers.
And the best part is, when you get people like that, whatever room they're in, they are the star.
Yeah.
And they can take over, and they can enjoy themselves by doing that.
They could only
have two players, or they could have the entire LARP around them, but they are going to have a good time irregardless.
This brings you to a new question.
All right.
Wait, before I ask my question,
okay.
Is anybody else in the audience got some strange new people? Have a question? any questions? 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'll ask my question.
That's a gentleman.
Anyone need a lawyer? Please feel free to ask.
Weekend's not over yet.
Go ahead, Rick. Don't be shy. No? All right, because I've got a question. Because what you've just said about the I'm the hero! That guy.
Oh, Broomhill!
How you want everybody to have fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is something that I've run into in... we didn't really have a problem with it on the one great successful LARP I ran, but in our day-to-day role-playing experience, there are people who embrace it more fully, and there are people who, even after years of role-playing with this, still come across as shy at a table with people they've known for 10 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how do you, or do you, care, how do you bring out the people who would fade into the wallpaper if you let them, or not be overshadowed by the person... with the stentorian voice, if you let that person just grab
sometimes
on the spotlight.
Sometimes you can put someone that's shy or a beginner, or so, you can kind of put them with some, you can set up their character so they kind of have a, they've got a mentor, but they got another character kind of backing them up who will sort of be like their training wheel, someone to kind of go. And it's really funny because some people, people you would never expect in a million years to be dramatic surprise you. I mean, you just give them something and they just run with it. And that's actually one of the joys of this. One of the things that makes it really fun is when you see somebody just kind of open up like that. It's like, wow.
Blossom.
Yeah, blossom. It does be good.
We've had some minors before who played in our games. And we try to let kids of all, we try not to go below 7, but 7 on up, we try to be friendly to everybody, let them have a good time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times with them, they find like there's not any things to do. So all the GMs will get together and find out little things and, you know, just kind of pass this along. But the best part with somebody who's really shy, if you can move a little storyline in their direction to move some of the more dramatic people around them, to have the one person there that's shy, and then put a little story on them, let everybody go to them, mm-hmm. that brings them out of their shell more.
Yeah. Well. Give them a piece of the game that nobody else can.
Make them constantly.
Well, I think, you know...
Good idea!
We're sort of... One of the negative stereotypes that we're talking about is the very dominating personality who takes it over.
I was trying not to make it sound like it was necessarily negative.
Well, no,
but there is a tendency. There's a certain.
I'm that guy, So it's not negative. It's just the way these people are.
I was going to say there's actually kind of two sides of it. One of them is a very negative side of it. Of I'm the star and I'm going to dominate the story and I'm not going to let anybody else, be a starring role. I'm just going to dominate the whole room. Damn it. And that's really not fun for anybody. You can also have people who sort of lead the charge and they bring everyone else along with them. Mm-hmm. They manage to engage everybody, get their energy up, get their investment in their roles and in the plot, and they carry it forward. And I've watched some of the sort of wallflower characters who are in that wake, and who sometimes come forward even past their ostensible leader.
That's very cool.
And that's again with the woohoo, love to be surprised.
Yeah,
that it's fabulous to see.
Ooh, creepy guy's got a question.
As a GM myself, I've found that with especially new players, a lot of times I'll let them get away with a little bit more than I would one of my experienced players. One, because I know my experienced players will rule lawyer the crap out of them. But also because, if you smack down their initial idea, a lot of the times that'll have a long-term effect on them. Yeah. That mm-hmm. first idea. So what if it, violates some rules? So what if... Are you having fun? As long as everyone has having fun. And
in front of every book, if you don't like them,
exactly. Just as long as everyone's on the same page, everyone's on the same understands. Hey, this is a game,
It's cooperative storytelling. It's sitting around the fire and you put something in, and someone else puts something in, and as long as at the end of it you're all happy with the story,
and then you're an arsonist.
Yeah. So what if it doesn't match up?
Then you're
an
arsonist.
If it's a good thing for the story and advances the story and makes things interesting for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's it hurting?
I think it's even more true of LARPing than it is for conventional tabletop roleplay.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more emphasis on social interaction rather than mechanical fiddly bits.
It's like to say, give that shy person a key piece of the game.
Yep.
That game cannot progress. Game cannot end until that one particular piece is found.
That's dangerous, though, because if you give someone that key and then they forget about it or they don't know what to do with it,
or
they never come back again. I mean,
leave it in their room.
Yeah.
That just creates more fun.
A couple years ago, we had.
Your phone rang anyway.
Damn it.
All right. What's your question?
So,
comment, whatever.
So when you have a player that comes forward and says, like, I blew up this building, or I blew up the docks, or whatever.
nice example there.
Yeah.
Four
O's,
right?
Completely hypothetical.
Completely. And they legitimately did do it. They did something that changes the environment of the game. Since you're in different places, or you could be, how do you coordinate that?
We bump into each other and go, do you know what so-and-so just did?
Yeah.
You'll see one of us running down the hall together going, oh my God, oh my God.
Cell phones are great devices.
Passing each other in the hallway, 30 seconds. hey, let me fill you in real quick.
And that's where you have to trust. Yeah, trust each other too.
Five to six in the hotel room with everybody doing this.
Yeah.
So who blew up what?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
How much ammunition do people have left? All right. What time is it? Oh God, there's somebody knocking on the door already.
Yeah. Basically, the bottom line is, if you say this happened because this happened, you trust him with that.
Yes.
And vice versa. Exactly. If I walk in and they tell me this is what you missed and here's what happened, okay, that's I trust what they're doing. They trust what I'm doing. So, and the cool part is you know, as long as we catch up with each other at some point, you can kind of fix it.
Yeah. Well, and the game mechanics we have
when you're running a LARP. You have to trust the people you're working with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can't trust them, then your LARP is not going to work. People will play mommy and daddy off the storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They really will.
Mm-hmm. Really?
They will. Oh, they will yeah. come. They, good example.
Well, Bob said I could have this.
They will go, exactly. go to Justin, and Justin will say no and give them a reason. Then, when I haven't got to speak, they'll come to me and say, can I have this? I'm like, Well, you should.
What did your father say?
You should have talked to Justin about that. Oh, he wasn't available yet. Well, yeah, I guess you could have it. And then immediately when we talk to each other, it comes back to, he said I could have it and you didn't. So since he's at it, I can have it now. And I said, no. I told him she couldn't have it. Oh, I didn't get that part of it.
Yeah.
And that does happen sometimes.
Yeah.
Why would anybody do that? Because I'm sorry, I just have a lot of trouble wrapping my brain
around something. The same reason people cheat at Monopoly.
I mean, it's the same.
Where did all the 500 go?
It has no freaking value in the real freaking world. But to some people, I won the most fake money. I win. You suck. Yay! Some people just it's power.
Don't be that guy. Okay.
No,
don't
seriously.
Be that guy.
Seriously.
I would much rather see everybody have a good time than have to argue.
It's the same guy who,
now.
When you put your turn signal on, speeds up so you can't come over.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the same. It's the same mentality.
Like
to say it. It's, you know.
I mean, thankfully enough, we eventually weed out those people. Mm-hmm. Those people get weeded out over time.
They get bored because
they get bored.
There's no reason to garner power in a game where everybody's supposed to be having a good time.
Yep.
They're trying to garner power when there's none to garner.
Yeah. Or you're looking curious. Do you have a question?
He always explains.
I always look down. I was just thinking to myself, because I play regular role-playing games with Dave and Rod for a long, long time
long
now.
Long.
Long time, and everybody you've described, I'm picturing people in my head, the power gamer, the rules lawyer, you know, all these people, and you know, you were saying that they tend to get weeded out. Do you ever do anything to kind of push the weeding out?
Yes, occasionally we do.
On occasion, there are calls, conversations. Mm-hmm.
We have the patience of God, yeah. But even our patience weighs in.
vengeful God.
We do, you know, we try not to let our personal feelings for people get in the way of a game.
Yeah, right. It doesn't touch the game at all.
But every now and then, it does. When the person has been annoying you for 2 years straight, yeah. You know, literally for 2 years straight, they're annoying the hell out of you. You go, you know what? This is now happening.
Well, and one of the kind of one of our touchstones is a question of, okay, yeah, this person's being annoying. Okay, is it getting in the way of the game? Is it getting in the way of the plot? Is it getting in the way of other characters enjoying the game? If all that's happening is I'm gritting my teeth,
right?
I'll probably continue to grit my teeth. If someone else feels unsafe. That's a completely different level and we're done.
Right.
And we very much try to avoid that. I imagine
that's
y'all do too.
An extreme.
But
how about somebody who's just annoying as hell to be around? You know, where people.
That's our players. It's okay.
there's evolution in action. Some of the guys sit in the lobby with their little packet, and they'll go up and try to, you know, interact with some folks. They'll piss the hell out of them. They'll ditch him, and it does sort of self-correct a little bit. Yeah. I mean, if you can't play in a LARP, you have to have at least a little bit of social skill, a little bit.
And
if you don't have it, you'll cultivate it. You know, you'll have people. If you play with friends, you'll have people who will help you out, and you'll meet new people. That's part of the fun of doing it. It's a great way to meet people and make new friendships and stuff like that. But some folks, just like in real life, not so good at that.
And sometimes your LARPers take care of it for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the other players.
There's a crowd decision where we don't have to speak about it all.
I Especially bet. The pack.
Oh, yeah, what a shame. Play. They beat you to death. Well, hey, better luck next year.
Yeah, and that
they hate you.
We're coming close and you raised your hand. I don't want to just keep calling you creepy guy. What are you, actually?
I'm Mr. E. Spooky.
Oh.
I specialize in wills.
So, Mr. Spooky, Esquire. What were you going
to say? One
Jesus cousin. That's awesome.
he's the more successful
primitive man
of the juices.
We were talking about what to deal with. Like you said, sometimes players will take care of it. Well, I happen to be in the Fayetteville Vampire LARP. I don't know if any of y'all... And I think
it's an awesome LARP.
Never.
That's why I hear
it.
I was drunk.
Short story long, I'm playing a... Or I was playing a caitiff that also happened to be the sheriff. Well, some high-up muckety-muck, I-have-status-of-yes guy was like, ah, fuck you, caitiff. Well, I was like, well, I also happen to be the sheriff, and I have the right to sit you down and question you. So I'm going to sit you in a room. I'll be back. And I just left him there. For like 3 games in a row. I never told myself, hey.
You gave him a timeout, basically.
I need to talk to you, but I don't want to talk to you. Are you going to burn permanent status? Then you're going into...
You're going to stay right here.
Oh, 7.
Bring a magazine. Make a day of it.
We're coming up close on the end of our time together. Last questions? New people? People in fun hats.
Colonel Mustard, you in the back.
Last comments from you guys?
I mean, like I said,
I'm really quickly, people. She came in late, but this is like the other half of Strange Eyes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh, well, who are you? Introduce yourself.
I am Amy. I am his wife. And
without her, I couldn't.
Behind every great man.
Yeah, pretty much.
is Amy, literally.
Well, there she is. Find mother-in-law.
If the wife doesn't want you to play, doesn't want you running a LARP at con, then you're not going to do it.
Yeah. Very true.
What is the LARP? You want to be?
Oh, you missed the beginning.
Yes, I was.
We'll wrap up by introducing everybody in reverse order, starting with.
I'm Justin. Justin Jeffries, one of the Strange Eons, head storytellers.
And you are?
I'm Owen Anderson, and I'm an alcoholic still.
Hi, Owen.
I'm the
head storyteller.
Head storyteller at Strange Eons.
And Amy, also with Strange Eons.
Mm-hmm. I'm the prop manager, PR person.
Awesome.
Behind the throne.
I'm Brandon Blackmore. I ran one successful LARP once in ShivaCon. It was awesome.
And you may run another one again.
I may someday. I've learned many things. And you are?
I'm David Lisland, and I am one of the guys running the superhero LARP, also called the Schlurp.
Did you take a long time to think of that?
You know, I hate to even mention this, but... Before the other day on Facebook, one of my friends who is not a gamer doesn't know this. I put up a picture. Yeah, we're working like hell on the Schlarp. It's trying to get the Schlarp done. Schlarp. And she sends me this note and says, "I know this is not what you're talking about." And she had a link to Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
and
no.
Apparently, there's an entirely different meaning of Schlarp.
Oh really?
And,
it's a grown-ups only meeting,
and
isn't it?
And you might want to go check that out. You'll get a good chance.
Damn you, linguistic dynamism!
But not at work.
Not at work, no.
Hey, what's this blue screen?
That browser off.
It depends on
what
your work is.
Is it worse than a rusty venture?
Is it worse than a rusty venture?
David Lisland, helper on the Schlarp.
And you are?
Our prop man, our awesome, amazing... prop guy. I am Rod Belcher, and I am also like an alcoholic, and we are in the program together. He's my phone buddy.
Yeah. We call each other to buy each other beer.
That's right. Which I owe you guys still, by the way, which we're going to take care of that tonight.
Okay. We will be collecting.
Excellent. And I do some of the writing and stuff for the show.
I'm Bob Flack, which my voice is going with.
We're talking
for 2 days. And I'm working with these guys with the superhero LARP, and I guess I'm the mechanics guy for the superhero LARP.
Yeah, Bob does all the rules and all the mechanics and takes crazy ideas and makes them reasonable and balanced relatively. And then Dave makes them into real things, which is kind of cool.
Cool. Well, this is awesome. And this is a lot more fun than I was expecting. So,
yeah, me too.
I hope you guys liked it. You know,
this is my first ever panel. So.
Awesome. You did a fantastic job.
I've had
this. I'm glad you guys
I'm the only person applauding.
Okay.
I didn't see a sign.
And Ron had not told me like 40 minutes ago that I was going to be doing the panel. Yeah, 40 minutes would be awesome.
I looked at the panels or something.
That's
like, oh, good. They took me off the